History about prisoners at Auschwitz who were forced to service the gas chambers and ovens. The voices of the dead prisoners are read by David de Keyser, Lee Montague, Alan Cordner, and David Swift. The voices of the Nazis are read by John Moffat and Hugh Dixon. The narrator is Richard Pascoe. Searching the Ashes.
Molera ami sole pandemi.
Everything that has happened here. They are what we, members of the Sonderkommando, have secretly hidden so that posterity will know about the atrocities committed here. We ourselves have long given up all hope.
Written by an unknown camp prisoner who was a member of the Sonderkommando at Auschwitz. A detachment of prisoners who were made to carry the corpses from the gas chambers to the ovens for burning. His notes in Yiddish were found in the summer of 1952 on the site of crematorium number 3.
Search everywhere. Every inch of ground.
I consider it my sacred duty before my people and before the people of the world to tell what I have seen here.
Zalman Gradowski, born in 1909 in Suwalki in Poland. He had been, by occupation, a clerk in the town of Luna near Grodno. From the beginning of 1943, Gradowski was forced to work as a member of the Sonderkommando in the crematorium of Auschwitz concentration camp. His manuscript, 81 handwritten pages, was found on the 5th of March, 1945, during excavations of crematorium number 3. It had been hidden in a soldier's flask, deep under the ground.
I'll bury my manuscript in the ashes on the site of the crematorium, which I'm certain will be excavated, and the evidence of the mass slaughter of millions of innocent people will be revealed. I dedicate my manuscript to the memory of the members of my family who were burnt alive in Auschwitz. My wife, Sonia. My mother, Sarah. My sister, Esther. My sister, Lieber. My father-in-law, Raphael. My brother-in-law, both.
To my beloved wife and daughter, my darlings.
Hyman Hellman, prisoner number 106113, from March 1943, also a member of the Sonderkommando. This is the beginning of his letter, written in French to his wife and his daughter Simona in Paris. It was found on the 20th of February 1945 in a sealed bottle hidden in a heap of human ashes.
I will not have a chance to reply to you. Our days are numbered.
At the wish of SS Reichsführer Heinrich Himmler, the concentration camp at Auschwitz has become the largest center of all time for the extermination of human beings.
SS Obersturmbannführer Rudolf Höss, Commandant of Auschwitz. These are excerpts from the memoirs which he wrote in 1947 while in custody in Warsaw, awaiting the pronouncement of his death sentence. Rudolf Franz Ferdinand Höss was born in 1900 and brought up as a strict Catholic. His father wanted him to become a priest, but he became a farmer and bred horses. He joined the ranks of the Nazi Party in 1922 and later became an active member of the SS, where he met Heinrich Himmler. Höss was married and had five children. The youngest two were born during his service at Dachau and Auschwitz. His first posting was at Dachau. Then he worked in the Sachsenhausen camp as assistant commandant until May 1940, when Himmler entrusted him with the task of building the biggest of all Nazi extermination camps, Auschwitz.
My name is Zalman Leventhal. I was born at Ciechanów in Poland. I was brought to the death factory in January 1943 and assigned to the Sonderkommando.
So begins Zalman Leventhal. His notebook, 65 handwritten pages, was found on the 17th of October 1962 in a small jar 3 feet below ground near the ruins of the gas chamber.
We didn't know what was in store for us here. We were only told the work would be hard. No one suspected that the previous Sonderkommando had been killed just a few days before we arrived. None of us were really conscious of what was happening to us. We worked like automatons, oblivious of what we were doing. We came to ourselves again only when work was finished for the day and all the corpses from the gas chamber had been pulled out onto the platform and thrown into the pit, where those killed the previous day were already burning. This is a horrible death, and as I write these lines, I shiver at the very thought that I too would experience something like this.
Order FL-2150. Transfer to Auschwitz CC. Depart Prague 0815 by Olmütz and Odeberg. Arrive Auschwitz 1736.
From the diary of SS Obersturmführer Johann Kremer, written while serving as a doctor at Auschwitz. Dr. Johann Kremer was born in 1884 and was a doctor of medicine and philosophy. In 1929, he taught anatomy at the University of Münster, where he became an assistant professor. From 1932, he was a member of the National Socialist Party and 3 years later, a member of the SS. He served at Auschwitz as a doctor from the 30th of August, 1942.
First day at Auschwitz. Received strictly confidential instructions. Took the oath. Accommodation in the hotel next to the railway station, room 26. Tropical heat, 28 in the shade. Dust and millions of flies. Meals in the officer's mess, absolutely excellent. Lunch, for just half a Reichsmark, duck liver, stuffed tomatoes, and salad. Local water contaminated. We drink mineral water, which is served free of charge.
Document from the archives of the Auschwitz Concentration Camp Museum describing the capacity of the crematoria ovens when working 24 hours a day. Crematorium number 2, 5 ovens with 3 compartments, 1,440 corpses. Crematorium number 3, 5 ovens with 3 compartments, 1,440 corpses. Crematorium number 4, 4 ovens with 2 compartments, 768 corpses. Crematorium number 5, 4 ovens with 2 compartments, 768 corpses. Total daily capacity of crematoria, 4,416 corpses. Total gas chamber capacity, 11,950 persons. The daily crematoria oven capacity still cannot keep up with the daily output of the gas chamber.
When the order was issued for me to prepare the installations for mass extermination at Auschwitz, work to be supervised by me personally, I never stopped to consider the enormity or the consequences of the task. If the Führer had issued this order, then, for a veteran National Socialist and especially for an SS officer, the idea of questioning its validity simply never arose. An order issued in the name of the Führer had to be carried out ruthlessly and without regard to the consequences.
Document from the archives of the Auschwitz Concentration Camp Museum. Estimate of income and expenditure per prisoner if each prisoner is used for a maximum of 3 months. Expenditure, food, 1 mark per day, making a total of 90 marks. Clothing and footwear, 20 marks, total 110 marks. Income, labor, 3 marks per working day, making a total of 234 marks. Ashes after cremation, 4 marks. Total, 238 marks. Net profit, 128 marks.
The selection or transfer procedure was unique. From the transports, the following categories were separated from the others to be given what we called special accommodation. Children under 14, men over 50, women over 45, the sick and the disabled. Those who were unable or too exhausted to walk were transferred to the crematorium in lorries with Red Cross markings. I ordered my men to behave with the utmost consideration towards the prisoners. I forbade violence or rough language. Infringements of this rule were punished by the harshest measures, and the soldiers behaved in a very courteous and even friendly manner. I ordered that women with children should also be taken straight to the gas chambers, regardless of age and capacity for work. In my view, separating mothers from their children would have been utterly inhuman.
This is an island of the dead. A person doesn't come here to live, but sooner or later to meet with a violent death. Here you gain liberty through the chimneys of the crematoria. You go out into the sky in clouds of smoke, out into the wind.
perfume, there shall be a stench. Where there was a girdle, there shall be a rent. Where there were long tresses, baldness. Where there was beauty, burning. And there will be a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For men shall be burnt in the flame like cut thorn. The fire will be extinguished neither by night nor by day, and its smoke will rise up to the very heavens.
I was glad that the extermination was to be managed by using gas. The thought of shooting such an enormous number of people, especially women and children, had always filled me with horror. I felt relieved that we would be spared bloodshed, and that the victims themselves would be spared suffering right up to their last moment.
Attention, attention. You are now in the shower. Please undress as quickly as possible so that other people don't have to queue too long. Please remember the number on your hanger so that you can find your clothes promptly after showering. Thank you.
It was very important that the undressing happen in an atmosphere of the greatest calm. The soldiers saw that it was done quickly, so that the victims had as little time as possible to wonder what was really in store for them. Young children usually cried, but their mothers would console them, and they would go into the gas chamber quietly, joking with each other and carrying their toys.
Splendid lunch. Tomato soup, half a chicken with potatoes and red cabbage, followed by a cake, and lovely vanilla ice cream. I've already been in the camp a long time, but still can't get rid of the bugs in my hotel room, in spite of fumigating.
I noticed that women who knew, or at least guessed, what was awaiting them, found the strength to reassure their children, despite the fear of death which one could see in their eyes. One woman, showing me her four children, said to me in faultless German,
"How on earth can you kill such beautiful, darling children? Have you no heart at all?"
With these words, she took her children and went into the gas chamber, weeping.
Document from the archives of the Auschwitz Concentration Camp Museum. After it was established that the ash from the crematoria contained many bones which had not burned and which were hampering its use as fertilizer, a bone milling machine was ordered from the firm of Schriever in Hanover.
My first time sick in the camp. Diarrhea with severe pains. As I haven't drunk a drop of the water, I don't know how I got it. It's probably the fault of this unhealthy, humid climate with its dust and flies. A shipment for special accommodation from Holland. The soldiers gladly join in these operations because they're given a supplementary allowance. 1/4 liter of brandy, 5 cigarettes, 100 grams of salami, and a whole loaf of bread.
Autumn 1943. A shipment of children arrived from Czechoslovakia. In the changing room, a little girl, no more than 5 years old, was undressing her one-year-old brother. One of our Sonderkommando offered to help her. The little girl refused loudly so that we could all hear, shouting, "Get away from me, you murderer! Don't lay your blood-stained hands on my brother. I'm his mother now, and you'll die in my arms."
We're people. We're normal people, with normal personalities. We're not criminals. We're not murderers. We're people with hearts and feelings. We're ashamed. We haven't the guts to look each other in the eye. Eyes which are dry from pain and crying.
We just stare at the ground for fear of meeting one another's glance.
My attention was particularly caught by one young woman. She was running up and down the changing room, helping the toddlers and the old women to undress, reassuring them and calming the children. She was the last to enter the gas chamber. Standing at the door, she said to me,
I knew all the time that we'd been brought here to be gassed. When the selection started, I deliberately avoided going with the able-bodied people because I wanted to take care of the children. I wanted to go through all this, conscious of what was happening. I hope it'll be all over soon.
I marveled at her courage. I wanted to help her. I said to her, make sure you take deep breaths.
Sunday. For lunch, roast pork. For supper, fried fish. From 3 until 6, in lovely sunny weather, a concert by the Camp Orchestra. Conductor, the director of the Warsaw Opera. 80 hand-picked musicians. Bach, Cornelius, Wagner.
A lorry brought in 30 children, Lithuanian Jews. The children were quiet, but many of them were weeping bitterly. One child of 12 years old stepped forward and addressed the others with these words. Don't cry, children. Be brave. Don't be afraid of death. Today it is our turn to go, but we can be sure that our murderers will follow in our footsteps soon.
Are these people really your enemies? Women? Children? Are you really waging your great war here? Is this what your victory looks like? Why don't you find an enemy who is armed, strong, and brave? Why not display your heroism fighting him? Then you too would feel what fear is, what horror is. Then your strength would be broken forever.
It often happened that people from the Sonderkommando came across the corpses of their close relatives. I witnessed one such case myself. While the bodies were being pulled out of the gas chamber to be dragged to the pit for burning, one of the men suddenly stopped working and stood as if turned to stone. I asked the couple what the matter was. He told me that this prisoner had discovered the corpse of his wife. I watched the man, but couldn't detect anything unusual in his behavior. He resumed work, pulling the bodies from the gas chamber as if nothing had happened. Was he really capable of hiding his feelings so skillfully? Or had he become completely insensitive?
Why didn't we kill ourselves? Why? It remains a mystery. What can't be denied is the fact that each of us possesses an exceptionally strong will to live. Man is tied to life. Without life, neither he nor the world around him exists. That's the real truth. We're thankful just to survive today. We no longer think about tomorrow.
The end of 1943, they brought in 164 Poles, among them 12 young women. All of them were members of the resistance movement. Immediately afterwards, several hundred Dutch Jews arrived. One of the young Polish girls made a fiery speech in the gas chamber.
The sacred duty of avenging us, innocent people, remains with you. Tell our brothers and sisters that we consciously and proudly went to our encounter with death. We are not going to die now. We will be immortalized in the history of our people. Our will and our spirit will live forever. Down with the Nazi barbarians! Long live Poland!
Today we watched the sun set. Standing in the yard, we gazed at the clouds coming in from the west. The whole sky was dotted with clouds, changing from steel blue to blood red. After a few minutes' silence, somebody said, "How beautiful the world could be."
Document from the archives of the Auschwitz Concentration Camp Museum. Order from the head of the SS Central Economic Administration Service, Obergruppenführer Poll, human hair cut off in the camp will be utilized in the appropriate manner. Cut and combed hair will be made into footwear for the submarine crews and shoe protectors for the railwaymen of the Reich.
Yesterday, I attended execution of 7 Polish civilians. In the evening, the cinema. Gorgeous film. Made at enormous expense, starring Heinrich George. Very true to life. He plays the role of a gifted artist who can't get the recognition he deserves from his contemporaries and is finally ruined because of various intrigues and slanders. I was deeply moved by his final words. Life is transient. Only deeds remain forever.
Oberstaffruhrer Moll found some gold rings and a pocket watch in a young man from our Sonderkommando. He ordered the fellow, hardly more than a child, to sit on a red-hot stove. He was made to tell how he had come by these forbidden things. Then Moll drenched him in petrol and set him on fire.
Received fresh material in the form of human liver, spleen, and pancreas. Sent a packet of 9 pounds of soap to Minster. Rainy weather. For lunch, roast rabbit. Nice plump leg with dumplings and red cabbage. All for 1 Reichsmark and 25 pfennigs.
In order to save gas, the gas chamber wasn't used for this group. The women were taken to the pit where corpses are burnt to be shot. The liquidation, a bullet in the back of the head, was carried out by Oberstaffuhrer Moll personally. He ordered one woman to sing. The unfortunate woman, hoping that her life might thus be spared, began to sing and dance beside the pit in which the fire was blazing fiercely. Moll enjoyed himself hugely. He laughed, sang along with her. And killed her, too.
Outside, there is a tree coming into leaf. From my bunk, I can see a single branch. I often converse with this tree. It says to me, "I am here. I am life. Eternal life."
One Russian prisoner of war brought in with 4 of his comrades to be shot. Suddenly attacked an SS guard and seized his gun. He didn't succeed in using it. He was cut down by a hail of automatic fire. That was in June 1944.
I gazed towards the sky where the stars were fading, and the pink light of dawn was pushing its way through a dark layer of cloud. But my mind was on you. The look on your face was brighter than the rising sun. And for the first time in my life, I felt the truth told by wise men and poets. That love is the ultimate and most sublime thing to which human existence can aspire. I understood the meaning of faith. Man's salvation lies in love. My dear wife, please forgive me if there were sometimes misunderstandings in our life together. I now realize how little attention, love, and tenderness I gave you.
The liquidation of the Hungarian Jews began. Ours, under commander, was beginning to wonder if this game was finally coming to an end. We were going to finish with this job once and for all. A big offensive had begun. The Russians were getting nearer day by day. We were convinced that the Nazis intended to wipe out every trace of their crimes by exterminating our entire detachment. We saw that the approach of the battlefront brought no hope for us. So we decided that we had to put our plan for ourselves into action immediately.
It happened at the beginning of the summer of 1944. Several hundred prisoners who knew from us what was in store for refused to obey orders and tried to break out of the crematorium. Most of them were mowed down immediately by machine gun fire. The rest were shot in a reprisal operation directed by Hauptsturmführer Hessler the same evening.
On special duty again tonight. Shipment from Hungary. Horrible scenes at the entrance to the bunker. That Hessler chap, a common sadist. He shot those who couldn't get into the shower room because it was too crowded.
It happened in that summer of 1944. One sunny day, they brought in 600 boys aged between 12 and 18. They were accompanied by 25 well-armed SS officers. In the yard, the captain of the guard ordered the boys to get undressed. The children noticed the smoke which was pouring out of the chimney and at once realized that they were being led to their deaths. Panic seized them. They began to run up and down the yard, frantic, desperate. The captain of the guard and his men beat the hysterical youngsters until their cudgels broke. Many of them ran up to us, threw themselves into our arms, and clung to us tightly, begging us to save them. We just stood there helpless, completely frozen, as if paralyzed. The SS men, with the arrogant expressions of victors and showing not the slightest sign of compassion, dragged the battered boys off to the gas chamber. Haven't any of these people ever had any children?
Every wish for my wife and children has been fulfilled. The children have been able to live freely and naturally. My wife has had her own garden, a paradise of flowers. In my family, love of flowers, and especially of animals, has taken pride of place. The children had great fun playing in the large garden. There was always something new and fascinating to see there. Tortoises, martens, cats, or lizards.
The commandant of Auschwitz, Rudolf Höss, was decorated by Adolf Hitler with the First Order of the Iron Cross.
Summer 1944, Sunday. Near our crematorium, on the road to the railway station, a procession of prisoners, five to a row, are pushing empty prams. The procession takes almost an hour to pass by.
Sunday. Lovely sunny day. In the morning, a bicycle ride. Then a friendly party with supper, free beer, and cigars. After that, a musical cabaret.
It is enough! Many of the innocent have already been burned! Let us destroy everything and die for our ideals!
We established contact with the camp resistance movement. We passed evidence to them of the crimes and murders carried out here. They smuggled in large sums of money to use for bribing the SS. Prisoners who worked in other Sonderkommandos, mainly Poles, Russians, Frenchmen, and Yugoslavs, were ready to help us. It seems, unfortunately, that we started to make these preparations too late.
It happened at the end of summer 1944. Two Hungarian Jews asked one of our Sonderkommandos, "Should we let you in on the secret?" The reply was, "Yes."
From somewhere, the Hungarians pulled out a bottle of brandy and drank a toast. Long life to you. They offered some to our comrade. He shyly refused. The Hungarians persisted. You've got to avenge our blood. You've got to live. So, long life to you. Your health. We understand you. When he heard these words, our comrade tilted the bottle and drank, deeply moved.
I would like to emphasize that feelings of hatred are quite foreign to me. I personally have never hated Jews, Gypsies, or Slavs. As enemies of our nation, they had to be got rid of, but they were never conscious of their destiny. They went to their deaths calmly, without intimidation, violence, or humiliation. Reichsfuhrer Himmler was right when he said, "We Germans are the only people who could execute an operation like this. No other nation could be so humane."
Our Sonderkommando has been cut by half. 20 people have been transferred to Lublin, to the Majdanek camp. They have all been wiped out. We found that out from a group of prisoners who were transferred to our detachment from Majdanek.
Ni le bien qu'on m'a fait, ni le mal, ça m'est bien égal.
While I wander through the enormous ruins of the deserted crematorium, I speak Simona's name out loud, as if I were calling her.
Simona!
Never again will I speak to her. Never again will I hear my Simona.
There were only a few days left until the general camp uprising. Tens of thousands of prisoners would be taking part, which would greatly increase the chances of success. On Saturday, 7th of October, we learned that a transport from Crematorium 4 was due to depart at noon. At 11:25, the guard arrived to supervise the transport. It was then that the mutiny started. 300 people, armed with hammers and axes, threw themselves on the soldiers. Some were armed only with stone. They managed to overcome the guard, but only a few minutes later, a motorized SS unit was dispatched to the crematorium. There were so many SS men that the machine gunners outnumbered the prisoners 2-1. When they saw that they were lost, the members of the Sonderkommando decided to blow up the crematorium and then die an honorable death in battle. At 2:00 exactly, the crematorium was blown to smithereens. It was the beginning of the end.
Saturday. In the evening, a variety show. Exceptional merriment was caused by some dogs which danced, and some dwarf roosters which crowed on command.
We in Crematorium 3 heard the explosion and saw smoke in the distance. The sound of machine gun fire also reached us. It was clear to our comrades in Crematorium Number 2 that they also had no choice. They disarmed one of the non-commissioned officers on duty and threw him into the oven alive. The other was beaten to death. They divided the weapons among themselves, cut through the wire fence, and ran behind the guardhouse.
In October 1944, people from the Sonderkommando blew up Crematorium 4 using hand grenades, which they probably made themselves, and then attempted to escape. Our motorized units surrounded the crematoria and the whole perimeter of the camp. During the fight, 255 prisoners were killed, including the organizers of the mutiny. We also sustained some losses. 4 killed, 12 seriously wounded, and 20 slightly wounded. After the revolt had been crushed, 200 members of the Zonta Commando were shot in reprisal.
Many of my comrades fell. I wasn't among them. Not out of cowardice, but by pure chance. I'll be following them soon anyway.
We will bury our manuscripts in the crematorium yard. We will bury our notebooks and diaries deep under the ashes. It will be easier for my friends and comrades in arms and for my nearest and dearest. We have done as much as we could. And you, searching for the truth, you who have lived to see justice and liberty, what will you do?
Operations have begun to obliterate all traces of the terrible crime. We have dug out many pits and scattered the ashes. There are still 2 open pits by Crematorium 3 full of human ashes.
I was brought up in the spirit of National Socialism, convinced that the orders given by Hitler or Reichsfuhrer Himmler were sacrosanct, and that it was shameful and weak to doubt them.
Today, 25th of November, the demolition of Crematoria 2 and 3 began. The ventilation pumps have been dismantled, together with the pipework and all the other installations, and everything has been loaded onto wagons. We assume that the Nazis will use these dismantled parts again to build factories for mass extermination in some other place.
Preparing for departure. Yesterday sent suitcase to Münster to the address of Mrs. Weizmann. Contents. 2 bottles of brandy, vitamins and medicines, razors, soap for shaving and bathing, thermometer, preparations of 96% alcohol, pliers, bottles of iodine, stationery, fish oil, perfumes, needles, wool, toothpaste, and so on. In the evening, a blizzard. Paths covered in mud and puddles. Horrible sight. Terrible weather.
Today we're leaving the crematorium. The 170 remaining prisoners in the Zonta Commando. They're taking us to our deaths. I'll bury this in the ash pit because I believe that excavations will be carried out on this site. In some distant future. In some other world. I ask myself, will you be able in the future to visualize the tragic world in which we live? Will you be able to make a righteous judgment? Written by Zalman Gradovsky from the town of Luna, near Grodno. Today is the 26th of November, 1944.
Dearest ones, listen now to my last wish. Remember your brothers and sisters, the French, who have fallen innocently. Remember the hundreds of thousands of innocent Poles, Russians, Czechs, Dutch, Belgians, Yugoslavs, Greeks, Italians, and Hungarians, Germans, who laid down their lives in this vast place of execution. Remember, and as long as you live, tell everyone of our evil destiny. and of the crimes committed by those who renounced their humanity. Farewell, my beloved wife. Farewell, my graceful Simona. Carry out this final wish of mine and live in peace and freedom. Written in Auschwitz, November 1944, Chaim Herrmann.
What we have been through, no power in the world can wrest from us. And not only what we have experienced, but what we have thought and suffered. All this has become reality, once and forever. And although all this will soon belong to the past, it is precisely in the past that it will be forever secure. The author of these words is Zalman Leventhal, from Chicano, today still in the crematorium at Auschwitz.
Search. Search through the ruins. Search for manuscripts. They are hidden in several places. Search carefully. You will find many. Search everywhere. Search through the ashes.
The Auschwitz concentration camp existed, by our earthly reckoning, 4 years, 8 months, and 7 days. Soviet shock units of the 1st Ukrainian Front, under the command of Marshal Konev, liberated the camp on the 27th of January, 1945. Cantor Sholem Katz was one of a group of 2,000 Jews destined for mass extermination at Auschwitz. He was allowed to chant the prayer for the dead while the prisoners were digging their own graves. The commander of the execution squad, greatly impressed by his singing voice, spared Katz's life so that he could sing this prayer in front of the officers. Thus, he was the only one of those 2,000 to escape a cruel death. When Auschwitz was liberated, Sholem Katz again chanted the prayer for the dead and was recorded for posterity. Through the largest place of execution in the history of mankind, passed over 4 million people. Fewer than 30,000 of them survived. The rest were transformed into ashes, into smoke, into wind.
About unto the north. It whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuit.
the wind has stopped. And you, searching for the truth, you who have lived to see justice and liberty, what will you do?